Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to National Securities Depository Limited, NSDL, Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Aarzoo Khandelwal. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Khandelwal.
Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today to discuss NSDL's Q1 FY27 financial and business performance. The recording of today's earnings call and the transcript will be uploaded on our website under the Investor Relations section. The financial results, investor presentation, and the press release are also available on the website. For today's call, NSDL is represented by Mr. Vijay Chandok, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Jigar Shah, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sameer Patil, Chief Business Officer, Mr. Kothandaraman Prabhakaran, Chief Technology Officer, Mr. Prashant Vagal, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Rajiv Gupta, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer of NSDL Database Management, Mr. Abhijeet Kamalapurkar, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer of NSDL Payments Bank, and myself, Aarzoo Khandelwal, from Investor Relations. The leadership team will give us a brief overview of the operational and the financial performance of the quarter gone by, which will be followed by a Q&A session. With this brief introduction, I now invite Mr. Vijay Chandok for his opening remarks.
Thank you very much, Aarzoo. Very good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to all our shareholders, investors, analysts joining us today for our Quarter 1 2027 earnings conference call. I sincerely appreciate the continued trust that our 8.9 lakh valued investors and shareholders have placed with us. Since our listing almost a year back, we have remained focused on delivering sustained growth, strengthening our market position, and creating long-term value for all our stakeholders. I'm pleased to have all of you with us today as we discuss our performance and progress for Quarter 1 FY27. Let me begin with a brief overview on the market environment because I believe it's important to understand the performance of the company in the context of the environment, very specifically to the environment that we operate. So starting with the market update, the West Asia conflict, as all of us are aware, eased during Quarter 1 of FY27, supporting lower oil prices, stabilization of the rupee, and improved market sentiment. In such a context, Nifty 50 rebounded strongly, gaining 6.6% during the quarter. However, renewed hostilities in July have revived geopolitical and crude price risks. But during the quarter, what stayed consistent was that who was buying and who was selling. FPIs remained net sellers for the third consecutive quarter, and DIIs remained strong buyers, with continuing to provide support to the markets. Amongst all this situation, the investor base continued to expand as far as our market is concerned, with nearly 70 lakh new Demat accounts getting added in Quarter 1 FY27 versus 67 lakh that got added in the same quarter of the previous year. With this addition, the total Demat count for the industry has now crossed 23.16 crore, which is up on a YoY basis by 16.3%. After a relatively muted IPO market in Q1 of FY27, activity is expected to pick up for the remaining part of the calendar year if one were to go by the pipeline that we see. With that context set, let me turn specifically to NSDL. During the quarter, we continue to make progress across our key focus areas of operational efficiencies, investor experience and awareness, and accessibility. And let me highlight a few notable developments. On the business front, our YUva, the Youth Plan, and the Women's Demat Plan, where we have made the settlement charges zero for the first 3 years for a new entrant for an NSDL account, continue to gain traction, and together they stand at about 18%-20% of our incremental Demat additions in Quarter 1 of FY27. NSDL also enabled a special tagging of Swagat FI, a single-window automatic generalized access for trusted financial foreign investors a framework for FPIs and FPCI in NSDL. So it's basically focusing on ease of business through simplified onboarding, reduced compliance burden, and 10-year registration validity for foreign investors. So a lot of easing was carried out during this quarter. NSDL conducted investor awareness programs online, offline, and in hybrid formats in association with corporates, defense services, education institutions, and women-focused forums, covering a very diverse set of investors segments nationwide. In quarter 1 FY27, NSDL conducted over 157 IAPs or investor awareness programs, reaching more than 8,000 participants across 10 states and union territories in multiple languages. The focus during the quarter was also to increase the utilization of the 40-plus APIs that we launched for DPs during the previous quarters. I think we had briefed this to you earlier. This helped us improve our customer experience and increase market share in DMAT accounts, which I'll talk about in a bit. Further, during the quarter, the board approved an investment in IIBH, which is a subsidiary in the GIFT City, in the GIFT City, with NSDL holding 20% stake in that company. We also, during this, recently welcomed Mr. Subhash Kelkar as our Executive Director, Critical Operations, and he brings nearly 33 years of leadership experience in technology and capital markets, and most recently served as the CTO of the Bombay Stock Exchange. So he joins us as an Executive Director on the board of NSDL. On the operational front, during the quarter, the total number of DMAT accounts for NSDL reached 4.56 crore, and we also crossed 317 depository participants with DP additions, the depository participant additions in quarter 1 of FY27 alone being 6. Last year we had added 21, which was a record, and in first quarter of FY27 we added another 6. And we provide services to these investors through 57,000 plus service centers and branches in more than 2,000 cities and small towns. As we speak, we hold about 86% of the value of custody, managing about $5.7 trillion, that is about 535 lakh crore of rupees of securities, of which 80% is equity. Our incremental market share in net DMAT account addition for quarter 1 of FY27 increased to 17.6%, up from quarter 4 levels of about 14% or so, and quarter 1 of last year at about 15.5. So both sequential and YOY basis, there is clear improvement. This improvement reflects a steady pickup in accounts addition and the various work that we've been doing to add new DPs and improve our customer experience and add APIs. With 12.4 lakh net additions of accounts during quarter 1 of FY2027 compared to 10.54 lakhs that we added last year same time. We continue to expand our issuer base, and we have now crossed 115,000 issuers within the NSDL ecosystem. Our e-voting platform has helped many leading companies to offer e-voting services to their shareholders, empowering them to exercise their voting rights electronically, with the number of events conducted during the quarter increasing to 900 compared to 794 that we did same time last year, and our e-voting market share as a result increased to 64% in Q1 of FY27 from 61% in Q1 2026. I'll now take you through some of the key financial outcomes, which is anyway readily available in our website, and I'm sure all of you have seen it, but I'll just highlight a few aspects. At the outset, I would like to mention that NSDL performance is best assessed on a YOY basis and not actually on a sequential basis, and this is because of the seasonality inherent in our business, which includes products like e-voting and dividend income from subsidiaries, which are concentrated in specific quarters. In such a context, if you look at our performance, our total income stood at 219.7 crores compared to 190.4 crores last year quarter 1, by about 15.3%. Profit after tax stood at 89.1 crore compared to 82.6 crore quarter 1 FY2026, up by 7.9%. I wish to highlight that our standalone margins have seen some moderation compared to the previous periods. This is largely on account of the investments that we've been making across our focus areas, which we've been talking to you about, which is strengthening technology resilience and cybersecurity, enhancing customer experiences through greater operational automation, and increase in talent pool by addressing certain skill gaps and other leadership requirements. We have front-loaded these investments in manpower and technology to strengthen adequacy of resources and to support infrastructure and future growth. As these investments mature over the medium term, we expect operating leverage to support normalized margins going forward. On a consolidated basis, the total income stood at 560.5 crore compared to 346.8 crore last year, quarter 1 FY26, up by 61.6% on a YOY basis. Profit after tax stood at 98.3 crores on a consolidated basis compared to 89.6 crore last year Q1 FY26, up by 9.7% on a YOY basis. At the consolidated level, the Payments Bank continues to focus on growing its transaction-led business and expanding its retail customer base. The bank margins during the period was impacted by the upfront onboarding revenue sharing associated with a specific partner project that the bank won and started implementing during that quarter. As these acquired customers through this initiative pivot to transactions and also start billing associated banking services, we expect profitability and margins in this segment to gradually stabilize and improve. Let me now talk a little bit about our subsidiaries. The bank continues to gain traction in digital payments ecosystem and is currently among the top 34 banks in India on UPI remitter bank transactions. As of June 30, 2026, the bank is ranked 6th as a payee PSP amongst the top 15 banks in the ecosystem. Retail customers have increased by 1.7x from 3 lakhs quarter 1 FY26 to 49.5 lakhs in Q1 FY27. Coming to our database management company, or rather subsidiary, during the quarter, NDML welcomed Mr. Rajiv Gupta as the MD and CEO, succeeding Mr. Gupte, who completed his full term as MD and CEO of NDML. Mr. Rajiv Gupta brings nearly 28 years of experience and most recently served as the Executive Vice President and Business Head at Religare Broking. At NDML, we continue to focus on scaling and strengthening our diversified businesses, and pursuant to IREDA's guidance, the company is in the process of transferring its insurance repository business from existing SBU unit to a separate subsidiary dedicated to this activity. The work on this transition is currently underway. We remain totally committed to delivering high standards of investor protection, building trust, and promoting financial literacy to encourage responsible investments across capital markets in India. And with these opening comments, I hand over to Jigar, our CFO, to talk a little more about our financial highlights.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Vijay. A very warm welcome to everyone once again, and thank you for joining us. Let me now take you through the standalone and consolidated financial highlights for the quarter ended 30th June 2026. On standalone basis, to kick off with, revenue from operations for quarter 1 FY27 stood at 182.2 crore, a growth of 13.2% on a YOY basis. Sequentially, it grew by 6.8%. The total income, we have registered a growth of 15.3% year-on-year to 219.7 crore in quarter 1 FY27. Versus 190.4 crores in quarter 1 FY26. Our EBITDA margin for the current quarter stands at 57.8%. Our EBITDA for quarter 1 FY27 is at 126.9 crore versus 115.3 crore in quarter 1 FY26, registering a growth of 10.1% on YOY basis. Net profit after tax for quarter 1 FY27 grew by 7.9% on year-on-year basis to 89.1 crore versus 82.6 crore in quarter 1 FY26. Our PAT margin stands at 40.6% for the current quarter. On the technology front, we have capitalized 7 to 8 crores during the quarter 1 FY27 versus full year capitalization in the previous year of 106 crores. It is worth noting that NSDL standalone profit contributes approximately 91% of consolidated profit. I shall now move on to take a brief note on the consolidated highlights. Revenue from operations for quarter 1 FY27 stood at 516.6 crores, registering a growth of 65.6% on a YOY basis, and sequentially it grew by 12.7%. This is primarily aided by the growth in banks revenue. Total income, we have registered a growth of 61.6% year on year to 560.5 crore in quarter 1 FY27 versus 346.8 crore in quarter 1 FY26. Our EBITDA margin for the current quarter is at 25.9%. Our EBITDA on consolidated basis for quarter 1 FY27 is at 145 crores versus 129.5 crore in quarter 1 FY26, registering a growth of 12% on year-on-year basis. Net profit after tax for quarter 1 FY27 grew by 9.7% on YOY basis to 98.3 crore versus 89.6 crore in quarter 1 FY26. Our PAT margin on consolidated basis stands at 17.5% for the current quarter. That concludes my opening remarks with regards to the financials. Thank you once again for joining, and I will open up the floor for Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on a touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Prayesh Jain with Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, everyone. So just wanted to understand, on the cost front, on a standalone basis also we've seen almost a 40% increase in employee cost. You had kind of indicated that we would be very close to peaking out. Just wanted to understand, are we close to the peak run rate? And in fact, if you could also give us some understanding as to where is the employee count getting added on the standalone side, wherein, in which departments and where is the kind of cost getting increased. That's point number one. Point number two is on the banking side. You kind of mentioned about arrangement wherein a large set of customers have come in, and that as they kind of adopt the services of NSDL Payments Bank, we will drive more revenues and profitability. So is this the run rate, the current quarter run rate is sustainable and will only increase from here? That would be a second question. And last question would be on the IPO activity momentum now that it has picked up. What's your traction on the, you've opened, I think you've extended your relationships with 6 or 7 DPs in this quarter, if I'm not wrong. But what is the status on new additions with respect to the large discount brokers or any new player that has started operations, which you can highlight a bit? Those would be my questions. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Prayesh. Thank you for asking this set of questions. On the first question with regards to cost, we had indicated earlier in our conversations that, most of our hirings we have done in the last year. So if you look at our net hiring in the previous year was about 98 employees. With regards to this quarter, and that's why you see there is an uptick and that the cost is now coming in this financial year. As far as the peak up is concerned, we are now going to go very cautious in terms of our hiring. But you will see during the current part of the year, the employees which have been recruited, the cost will come into this upcoming quarters. But yeah, broadly, we have done with the kind of adequacy that we wanted to do with regards to hiring manpower. And with regards to the other question, where we have recruited the manpower is largely in the technology and the cyberspace, because this is a space where we have strengthened and we believe this is a very critical space for us considering the type of company we are and the kind of business we are in as far as market infrastructure and institution is concerned. So that's the second part of question. Can you please repeat the bank question once again, please?
Yeah, I think, you know, Vijay mentioned in his opening remarks that there was some arrangement with the new arrangement that has happened in the banking business, which has brought in a lot of customers. And as that scales up and the customers adopt new services of Payments Bank, the EBITDA profitability and revenue will go up. Just wanted to understand what is this arrangement and do we see that the run rate of the revenues will only get better from here on banking services?
Yeah. So, firstly, you know, it's a very specific project. So we don't want to take names. It's a project which is giving us some card business. So as the transactions are onboarded, you know, customers are onboarded, there is a joining fee of sorts. So that is what has sort of ramped up the revenue. And this joining fee has a significant sharing with a partner who's working with us on this project. So it's virtually a pass-through. So therefore, the margins are low there. Once this is settled, obviously the turnover then doesn't need to be so spiky. Thereafter, the transaction, you know, related turnover comes in, and the transaction related profitability comes in, which is better than the joining related profitability ratios. So you have to see this in that context, rather than something which is, you know, a scale up, a permanent scale up of operational level. It is giving you customers which will add a fair amount of heft both on CASA as well as transactional revenue, which is more the traditional banking revenue. So this is more as a, you know, a front loading of an opportunity which is project related opportunity, which has got a pass through with a partner at the time of onboarding. So that onboarding journey actually peaked in this quarter.
But that's basically from second quarter onwards, it will be back to normalized rate and probably to the levels of Q4. And then as the volumes pick up from the customers, you will see better revenues.
Yeah, yeah. Broadly right. I think we have completed a significant part of the onboarding process in quarter one. Coming to that IPO, the IPO question that you had, I think we already mentioned the total number of accounts that got opened in the industry was about 70 lakhs, and we also mentioned that the total demat accounts that we opened was about 12.5 lakhs approximately, higher than what we did last year, at a slightly higher market share. So our market share increased sequentially as well as YOY basis, about 17.5% it came in. So the benefits of IPO will be in a sense flowing, you know, as a consequence of the increased number of, you know, shareholders and accounts. So that is how it plays out. So compared to the past, we do expect if the volumes are good, we should earn more because number of customers have increased. That said, we have added, you know, a fair amount of new account addition that is happening is now started coming from fintech. In fact, just for information, that number few quarters back was about 2% of our total addition was coming from fintech and 98% was coming from non-fintech. Now that number of fintech too has gone to almost 20% and the numbers have increased. So, that's the sort of change in the sort of color of the onboarding new customers that are joining us. With regards to, you know, I think you were trying to allude to certain very specific customers. I don't want to get into names, but there is progress. And while no accounts are attributable to the specific customers, but I would say that there is progress in doing some technology integration there.
Great. Just one follow-up on the first question. And
but having said that, I would just augment that, you know, this progress does not mean anything till we see the outcome in terms of numbers.
Absolutely.
So please don't take it away as any kind of a guidance. I want to make it explicit.
Yeah, yeah, agree there. Just, you know, on the first question on the tech investments, we see that both you and your competitor are investing heavily in terms of tech. Is there something that is also regulator driven, or is it the need of the hour that we are investing? And also, you know, you could elaborate a bit more there on that front.
Yeah. So actually, if you look at the assessment of technology investments, we have made investments into four broad areas that we have assessed. So it is purely based on internal assessments. One of the themes is from a technology resilience. So technology resilience is an expectation from regulators, and at the same time it's an expectation from the market. To say it is purely regulatory driven may not be accurate. At the same time, to say it is purely market driven is not accurate. I think both legs are sort of overlapping in this particular theme, and that's a sizable area of investment. The second is improving customer experience. Almost entirely it falls in the domain of market expectations. Also, from a regulatory expectations, they expect that, you know, you are doing a quick job of solving customer complaints and escalations, and in general keep investor complaints and escalations and grievances down. So from that angle, there is some element of overlap, but predominantly it belongs to the customer market domain. The third theme is automation, which is purely internal compulsion, because it gives us, our business is very amenable to automation and use of AI, use of ML, in matters like, processing, in matters like surveillance that we do as a part of our job. So that is purely in the domain of operational efficiency. And the last one is a complete refresh of infrastructure and hardware that is driven by the circumstances where we are. Because after a certain point in time, we need to upgrade our technology because of end of life and end of support. So as a consequence, that's the fourth theme that we have picked up, which is domain of compulsion, that we need to upgrade our technology periodically, which is typically once in 5 years and to 7 years to 8 years, depending on the policy. So we are somewhere in that kind of a mode at this point in time, and that's what has led to this, four areas of technology spend. As I said, it's a combination of outcomes that it is supporting. It is not purely technology. It is not purely regulatory. There is a fair amount of overlap on regulations, but at the same time, there is a fair amount of market expectations and market benefits that will accrue as a result of these investments.
Thank you so much. Wish you all the best. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Sanket Godha with Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on your annual custody income, which has grown by 30% year on year. I think in the past you called out how much of this growth is driven by folio count and probably new unlisted companies coming on board, or if you can give it, whether it was driven by folio count, and if you can call out the folio count, it would be useful, sir.
Yeah, sure. So primarily, I'll come down to the folio count, which I had also mentioned in the previous call. So how this, the custody fee growth has coming is primarily because in the last couple of years we've added enabled, the market with regards to moving a lot of these companies into our NSDL fold. So if you have to give you a number of companies that we've onboarded in the last couple of years, the kind of bench that we created, is about 33,000 in FY25, 30,000 in FY26. So that's about 60,000 companies that we've added in the last couple of years and in the last 1 year itself, and that's where you see the growth is coming from. And how are these companies helping us? These companies are helping us in increasing our folio count as well. While the folio are not increasing in large, because these are all unlisted companies, so they have a finite size of folio. So I had given this number in my previous commentary as well. The folio count as we speak today for NSDL is about 14 crores. So this is where we stand in terms of our folio.
Okay, so Jigar, last time the number was around 15 odd crores, right? If I remember the number right.
We had mentioned about 14 odd crores, but we can discuss it. But I think we have mentioned about 14 odd crores in a previous call. So we were 11.8, and then it moved to 14.
Understood. And which means that a large part of the growth came from more and more unlisted companies coming on board with NSDL. That's the way I need to understand, right? That was the bigger lever.
Yeah, so if you see our market share in unlisted companies stands at about 70% plus. Yeah. So that's where we are.
Understood. And my second question is also want to understand the color of pledge income growth, because your pledge income has also done meaningfully very strong on year-on-year basis and quarter-on-quarter basis. So will you attribute this strong growth largely to the strong growth what brokerage industry is witnessing with respect to margin trade funding book, or maybe some other reason that maybe the brokers which we are associated with, largely the bank brokers, they are consistently gaining market share in the cash segment, and that is getting reflected in our probably pledge income. Just wanted to understand, is it because of the MTF book or in general you are seeing any traction why it is leading to strong growth?
Yeah, so thank you for asking. So the way the pledge income is, we have a lot of traditional, and also fintech brokers who also avail a lot of our services. So lastly, if you see, this is the way the market is moving the last 3 months, the last 6 months, we are also getting the benefit of the way the market is moving with regards to the MTF book. And we see that in terms of our count also. So the way we earn our revenue in terms of count. The count has also grown in the last year on year by about 15% count in terms of the pledge and unpledge. And that's where it is helping us. This line of revenue.
So, Jigar, is it fair to say structurally, if people hold the margin trade funding book for a shorter duration, which is the current trend based on the broker's disclosures, then it invariably will benefit us. Is the fair way to understand this revenue line item to grow going ahead?
Yes, sir. The way it is right now, yes, it is. It benefits us because we have large custody presence and we have a better quality customers.
Understood. And two more questions. Sorry. One is on KYC income. So as we all know that KYC charges on fetch was cut by 20% by regulator, or all depositories took that call. KYC KR agencies took that call to reduce it by 20%. Still, our decline was just 2%. So just wanted to understand, is it because we had volume growth or we managed because we are gaining market share on incremental demat accounts? So number of KYC accounts with us increased and that led to the growth. Because the number what you told last time, if I remember, it is 1.98 crores account you had on KYC. So what is the current number and what led to that growth or marginal decline on sequential basis?
No, so as we had explained to you, Sanket, the NDML business is more diversified compared to our competition. So to measure us purely and solely on the behalf of the performance of DMAT account and KRA downloads may not be a very accurate way of looking at it, because we have about 5 businesses there, which includes SEZ Online, which includes your KRA business, and which includes insurance repository, amongst others.
Yeah.
Having said that, sort of decline would have attributable to the, price decrease in the KRA business was in part offset by the increase we got in the SEZ business. So on a composite, things are what it played out, rather than our singular dependencies as maybe with the
Understood.
Generic. Yeah. So this diversification has helped us actually.
But sir, if you can give a broader color out of the total revenue what we make in NDML, how much is KYC and how much is others? If you are okay to share that number.
Yeah, Sanket, at this stage we are not sharing our subsidiary details. Let things scale up and mature a little more before we start providing.
Understood. And last one. Typically we understand that e-voting is seasonally very strong in second quarter in India, but still we witnessed a strong growth in 1Q. Is it like some business of 2Q got preponed in 1Q and that's the way the growth has appeared? Or is this your market share story?
Yeah, actually, just wanted to give a perspective there. Actually, e-AGM, which is seasonally concentrated in quarter two, e-voting is more need-based rather than, completely seasonal, having a seasonal impact.
Okay, so there is nothing like means people started maybe preponed their activity and they did not drive the revenue. It's more normal kind of a trend.
It is a normal requirement that have come up maybe a little more in this quarter by companies. The concentration is typically for e-AGMs, which is in top.
Understood.
Yeah.
Understood. That's it for my side. Thanks for answering my questions.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Rushabh with RBSA Investment Manager, LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. If I recall correctly, I think you mentioned earlier in the call that the share of fintech in incremental demat opening has gone from 2% to 20%. So I just want to know, like in the last 6 months or 1 year, what has happened or what are you offering now in the technology and the service front that has led to this package share increase? Maybe because NSDL is not offering earlier. I just want to, you know, maybe get some sense here.
Yeah, thank you. And I think that's a great question. Actually, it is not merely the work of the last 2 quarters. I think we've been working for the last several quarters, I would say, in trying to convince the market, particularly newcomers, to join us. And in that context, a lot of work was done with going and meeting customers, first our own existing customers, addressing their pain points, addressing their technology expectations, reducing friction, and using that platform for spreading more positive word of mouth in the market. Because this market moves a lot with the comfort and word of mouth of an existing player. We also engaged, I would say, a fair amount of work with the back office vendors. So back office vendors, you know, when we conducted workshops, gave us a very, very interesting perspective on things that needed to be done, which will make onboarding easier and attract new sort of fintechs to us more easily. So that was also done. So I would say a combination of customizations, combination of investment of relationship building with, you know, the fintech brokers, rather I would say the new fintech brokers, as well as some of the features that we've added and the work that we've done with our existing players to get a positive word of mouth and positive endorsements from our partners, meaning the back office partners, back office vendor partners, which combination of all this has helped us increase and onboard new fintechs. These fintechs have been getting onboarded, you know, I would say for the last 4 quarters. And typically, the onboarding effort takes about 4 months or so. And typically, they take 1 or 2 months of, you know, testing and various CUGs and pre-production scenario testing, etc., before they feel comfortable to ramp up. And the ramp up is gradual. So a lot of this ramp up has now started taking shape. And we are still, I would say, in the process of ramping up more. So there are multiple new fintech brokers who have started journeys with us as a consequence of that. And the ramp-up in these quarters are a little more than the ramp-up that was seen in the earlier quarters. So that's what has led to this kind of an increase.
Okay, and so the whatever solution that you're providing right now from the fintechs, maybe, so they are in the early pilot stage or they are fairly happy with the product that we're offering and we can expect you know, significant ramp up in the next 1 or 2 years from them, in terms of business from them. And so in terms of the offering that we... Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
And just to add on to that, just in terms of offering that we wanted to offer to them, how satisfied are we with the product? Are we fairly, is it okay or is a lot of tweaking is yet to be done? I understand it's an ongoing process, but at least broadly, have we done it 70-80% with the product that we wanted to offer and the customer is happy with the product that we're currently offering? I'm just trying to understand the trajectory of that journey.
Yeah. So, you know, we put out some numbers for your comfort. Last year, we onboarded 21 new DPs. Okay. Many of them are in the process of early stages of integration or early stages of scale-up. Either meaning in different stages of integration or early stages of scale-up. So that benefit should logically start flowing to us. That's what we expect. But it is obviously contingent on how the market also plays. So, you know, caveating it with what market plays out, one will have to see how the future will play out. But our effort is on increasing number of DPs. Even in the current quarter, we have added 6 new DPs on top of that 21 which we added last year. So very, very high effort on going into the market, meeting new DPs, trying to convert existing DPs into our DPs. Even our shared DPs, we are trying to increase market share there, market penetration, wallet share there. So a lot of effort is going on through combination of better product. I think today from what we engage, the product gaps are not there really in the market. In fact, many people have said some of the APIs that we have launched are not available with competition. So I don't see product gap as a showstopper anymore. It is about more positive word of mouth endorsement, more positive comfort that the market will get from other players. our relationship building that happens, and some tactical pricing interventions that we can do, you know, through these UA plan, the youth plan, as well as the women's plan that we have launched. So, you know, it's a combination of these things which will help us attract more and more customers in future, and we remain optimistic about the future, subject to market conditions.
Okay, sir. Understood. And what would be the main priorities for the next 1 year, apart from understanding? I understand when Mr. Vijay took over 1.5 years back, there would have been certain, targets for the next 3-4 years for the company. So this one, what are the major hits and misses so far? And we are, I think, 1.5 years into the journey. And what are the key priorities for the next 1 year?
Yeah. So thanks. So you're talking to Vijay only. So I'm answering your question. So when Vijay took over last 1.5 years back, we laid out four thematic priorities. The first one was technology modernization. That was the first theme. And I've already explained that we subdivided that into four areas, which I explained in my earlier response. The second theme was skill gap and leadership gap. So adding people, adding resources, filling up adequacy. That was the second one. I think that is more or less now complete, you could say. Significantly completed, at least. At least leadership is completed. A little bit of gap filling is taking place in below the leadership level. The third area that we picked up is market penetration. I've already explained that there is good progress. And the fourth area we had picked up that time was to complete the IPO, which was completed in a record time of 7 months after Vijay joined. Now that 1.5 years is over, I think the effort is to complete the residual part of technology modernization. More work will happen in automation. More work will happen on ensuring that whatever has been launched gets refined, because typically technological offering requires continuous upgrades, continuous feedback loop session taking from the customer and improving and adding either new features, new capabilities, or defrictionalizing, or just making it more efficient. So a lot of time will go more in sophisticated, making things more sophisticated, making it more mature, making it more frictionless. I think the basic work to a large extent is completed. Two themes I expect on technology to take center stage is resilience. I think that's a very important area. And the second area would be customer experience related enhancements. So these are the two areas that, and automation I mentioned. So these three areas will take center stage. Market will continue to remain a very, very high focus. Technology will help us, feed market in a better and more sharper manner. So these two...
Thank you for the detailed response. That is quite helpful, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Mitesh Gohil with Access Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So most of the questions have been answered. Just two data keeping points. So what's the count of the unlisted companies added during the quarter? And the second one is, out of the transaction charges, other transaction charges of 21 crores, what proportion is the joining fees?
Yeah, so in terms of the first part of the question is the joining fee that we joining, the number of companies that joined this quarter was 3,600 companies. And in terms of, the component of the joining fee, we typically charge 15,000 rupees per company as a processing charge at the time of joining. So 15,000, there would be, let me look at the number here. Yeah, that should be in the range of about 5 to 6 crores.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to have a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Prayesh Jain with Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just one question on what would be our folio count?
Yeah, Prayesh, the folio count is approximately 14 crore folio we have today.
14 crore, and what was that in the previous quarter?
Previous year, so we do year on year, so it was about 11.88, so 11.9.
7.9, which has gone up to 14 crores. And that's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, we have a question that is on the line of Lalit Mohan Deo from Equity Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good evening. And thanks for the opportunity. So just two questions. So one, so in the annual custody fees, like there's a component of distributor ledger DLT charges also. Could you just quantify that amount as well? And so just as you have highlighted that like in the last 1 year we have onboarded like 21 DPs. So just wanted to understand like in terms of the incremental engagement with those depository participants, like how do we ensure that we get DMAT accounts from those DPs as well? And like in, if you could give some color like on how the DMAT accounts are shaping from those incremental 21 DPs which we have added.
Yeah, thank you for asking those questions. In with regards to giving us, you know, color on DLT is a, you know, relatively new line of revenue. We are not giving any specific numbers with regards to the DLT. Overall, we have right now about 600 issuers on our platform. So that's something which I can give you an additional information. As far as the second part is concerned.
So, as I said, that typically the process of onboarding is a four-month affair. I would say about 12 to 16 weeks. Various people sign up, go through documentation, go through technology integration, testing, you know, pre-production testing, launch, soft launch, and then final launch. So many of them are in various stages. Some of them have already gone into a proper production mode. Most of the DPs who have joined us, these 21 are exclusively with NSDL. So whatever accounts get opened typically will flow with NSDL only. You don't have to take any, you know, after onboarding and after integration, it's only about account opening. Every account that opens naturally will flow to us because we are the only DP there. We are the only depository there. So that's the effort required is to actually get the client onboarded, integrated, tested, and, you know, start production. That's the effort that is required. Thereafter, the work of the DP flows into the depository. So most of this has happened in the last, I would say, because 5 quarters back, if you would have measured this number, it was hardly 2%. Today it is 20%. A lot of it has happened only because of all the efforts that have been happening during these last 4 quarters and a few quarters before those, you know, that got onboarded. A few had got onboarded before. So all of that starts, you know, contributing to this.
And sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Chandok for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you all the investors, shareholders, analysts who took the effort and trouble to join and, you know, ask the questions. We really appreciate your presence and all the questions that you asked. In case after going through our numbers in detail, you still have follow-up questions, please do not hesitate. You have Arzu, our IR person, you have Jigar. Both are available for you to connect with them. And we'll be very, very happy to respond to your query. Thank you very much, all of you, once again. And continue to support us. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of National Securities Depository Limited, NSDL, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.